Well, it's hard to get up here when you keep talking to the family. Where are you at, Jeff? Come on. I need to get up. Well, they say count your many blessings, and if you live in Florida, recount them. Oh, listen to the moans. Oh, tell me you didn't think that was funny. I don't care who you are, Pastor Jeff, that was funny. Hey, you're not laughing.
I'm not laughing, no.
Okay. Woo.
You doing all right?
Compared to what?
Compared to what?
Are you ready?
Sure.
I've got an echo up here. Okay. Well, Pastor Jeff, once again, the holiday season is around. It's rolled around, and people are asking, where did the year go? Can you believe it's already holiday season? The stores are filled with Christmas trees and decorations, and they have been since before Halloween.
I was going to say, this is not new.
These days, Thanksgiving is basically a pre-season holiday.
Yeah.
It's kind of something we do to get in shape for Christmas. And I think that's a real shame. Because the art of giving thanks is one of the things that separates man from the animals. Pastor Jeff, you have a dog.
Yeah, I do.
We have a couple. You can give your dog a treat. They'll wag their tail, lick you. Or as my wife says, give you kisses.
I don't see it that way. Especially after you see what they've been doing out in the yard before they come and kiss you. Yeah.
You didn't have to go there.
Well, yeah, I did.
But I said that to say this. That's not saying thanks. That's begging for more.
That's right.
We all know what that is. To receive a gift and say thank you is one of the noblest things a man can do. There's nothing small or trivia about it. To say thank you is to acknowledge we have been giving something we did not earn and most likely don't deserve. Happy is the man who understands that all of life is a gift of God and life itself is the ultimate gift.
Amen.
I got out of bed today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not as quickly as I wanted to. But I got out of bed today.
Yeah.
God gave me another day of life. I want to live it for Him. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Now, I'm not supposed to laugh at it before I tell them.
Yeah, sure.
A man once said, if you can't be thankful for what you have received, be thankful for what you have escaped. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's so true. But, you know, I think Billy from Family Circus says it all. Family Circus up there. Thanksgiving should come after Christmas.
Oh,
then we'd have more things to be thankful for.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving can be seen as the forgotten stepchild, you know, of the holiday season. But I think it's more than just that we're rushing to get to Christmas. I think it's more than that. I think we are rushing through this world we live in, and we don't take time to be thankful on a daily basis.
Yeah, true.
We forget to be thankful for all things in our daily life, like you just talked about in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Take this prayer, for instance. I found this prayer, and I kind of like it. Even though I clutch my blankets and groan when the alarm rings each morning, thank you, Lord, that I can hear. There are those who are deaf. Even though I keep my eyes tightly closed against the morning light as long as possible, thank you, Lord, I can see. There are many who are blind. Even though I huddle in my bed and put off the physical effort of rising, thank you, Lord, that I have the strength to rise. There are many who are bedfast. Even though the first hour of the day is hectic and crazy and the dogs are giving me kisses, when socks are lost, keys can't be found, toast is burned, tempers are short, thank you, Lord, for my family. There are many that are lonely. Even though our table never looks like the pictures in the magazines and the menu is at times unbalanced, thank you, Lord, for the food we have. There are many who are hungry. Even though the routine of my job is monotonous, not my case, this is not my line, but thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to work. There are many who have no work. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life.
Amen.
Now, I know I have mornings where I don't wake up with the proper attitude. And it is definitely something I must work on. So I think taking time daily, and especially on Thanksgiving, to be thankful is pretty important.
I do too.
And something we should all strive to do. So on that note, I got to ask you a question, Pastor David.
Okay.
You ready?
No.
What are you thankful for?
Well, first I'd have to say I'm thankful for my family. They are dysfunctional. But they're mine. How many of you know what I mean? Not about my family, about yours. I thank God for my family a little deeper than that. Let me explain. Pastor Jeff, I feel like Adam.
Okay.
When God created me, He looked at all the rest of the world He'd created. And then He looked at me again and He said, "That's not good." He's going to need some help. So it took Him a year, but the very next year He created Barbie.
Yep.
And He said, "Barbie, I'm sorry, but this is your assignment." I created you to help Him. Come this December 20th. She has been doing that for 47 years. Can you believe that? Can you imagine anyone living with me for 47 years? Even my kids grew up and moved away. She just couldn't get out of it. And you know what this congregation is thinking. They're looking over at her and they're going, "Poor Barbie.
Poor Barbie." She's going to get a lot of hugs today, isn't she?
Yeah. But more than that, Pastor Jeff, I have a wife who all these years has not only stayed with me, but has stood with me. Through good times and bad times, through a lot of highs, a lot of lows, through raising four children and celebrating a reward for that, 9 grandchildren.
Wow.
And 44 years of ministry. Barbie is a wife who knows all about me, and she forgives me, and she keeps on loving me.
Amen.
You don't get more Christ-like than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Proverbs says, "May you rejoice in the wife of your youth." Pastor Jeff, that's a lot to be thankful for.
It is. It is. Well, I'd just like to say amen to that, because I myself am extremely thankful for my beautiful wife. Through all the ups and downs of the past 22 years, from late nights to me working at the store late at night, to my Black Friday stress when I was running stores, not wanting to go shopping during the holiday season. No, we can order that online, dear. We don't need to go out and bother anybody. Moving to Virginia, her support as God called me back to the ministry. And then all the stuff in between. She's been there, right there by my side, encouraging me, holding me accountable, laughing with me, laughing at me, crying with me. I am so thankful that God put her in a little student's desk at SIU right in front of me on that faithful cold winter day.
Is that where it started?
Yeah, it's where it all started. There's a long story to that, but the food's smelling too good. We'll get to that a different time. But I am very, very thankful for that. And then we also have 2 wonderful kids that she's done most of the work on. And I am thankful for them most of the time. Additionally, I'm thankful for my parents. They're here in the congregation today. They've shown me a lot of things, but most importantly, they've shown me that a marriage, it's a journey. But the journey, through all the ups and downs, the hills, the turns, it's well worth it.
Amen.
It is so well worth it. And sticking by someone's side, letting Christ be in the center of it, that's so important. I can't say enough about family. We could go on about family.
Thankful for my family.
Yeah. But what else are you thankful for, Pastor?
Well, to piggyback on that, I'm thankful for our church family.
Oh, amen. Yeah.
MCC. Mm-hmm. I am so glad to call this our home church. I'm thankful for our leadership. It's the best elders and ministry team leaders I have ever served with. I know we're not perfect. No. Well, they're not perfect. And you know, I'm really excited to know, because we're at that time of year where we're beginning to nominate and
yeah.
and talk to there. God is just leading more and more people, and more people are stepping up
mm-hmm.
in that role of leadership.
Amen.
I love this church, and I love that God has made it pretty obvious to me that He's still got a plan for
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
The best is yet to be.
Amen.
I'm thankful for our members. We've said it many times, Pastor Jeff, this is the most loving and generous family I know. Again, we're not perfect.
No.
And we're family.
Yes, we are.
We have squabbles.
Yep.
But don't come between us.
No.
I had people say to me at the flag program, and some of you have told me they've said it to you too. Honestly, you hear this a lot. People said to me, I could just feel the love here. That speaks volumes.
It does. It does.
Paul said it for me when he wrote this to his favorite church, the church of Philippi, when he wrote to the Philippians and said, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. You ready?
He said,
being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And he says, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. You? What about you?
Well,
I want to tell you something.
Okay.
I'm thankful for you as a part of this church family. How long has it been? 10 years?
10 going on 11, yeah.
10 going on 11 years. Jeff, that was a scary call we made to you when the Lord led you to throw your resume in the pile. It's hard to come home.
Yeah.
It's hard to think you can come back and lead and minister to families who raised you in the church, who taught you, who have fussed at you.
Never. Okay, I just lied. Sorry.
But Jeff, that was the best call we made 10 years ago in the world. I mean that. I've been in the ministry 44 years. I've served with a lot of associates, a lot of youth ministers, music ministers. You're still number one. Thank you. I'm thankful for you, buddy. I mean that.
Well, it's funny. I'm going to say I couldn't agree with you more. I'm not talking about me, though. I'm talking about the family around us. I didn't know he was going to do that other part, so you set me up.
I did.
But I couldn't agree with you more on this body of believers here at MCC and the leadership. They're so incredible, and I am so thankful for the ministry that we do here at MCC. Of course, I have a different perspective because I have to add, because of the people of MCC, many of them are still in the congregation today.
Oh, yeah.
That have taught me, prayed with me, and for me. Encouraged me, etc. It's because of your time and your efforts that and love that I am now in the ministry. So thank you. I can't thank you enough for that and what you poured into me as I was growing up around here. You know, I am a charter kid because my parents were chartering and charter members.
Right.
So I remember going up to Lincoln Trail and going early and having to set up chairs. And, well, most of the kids ran around while the parents set up the chairs. But I remember doing all that stuff and being up there. And we had the advantage. We lived right on State Street, so a lot of times we could just walk right up to church. I remember a couple times jumping in the back of Jim Warren's El Camino as it dropped by, so I didn't have to walk up the long hill to the church.
Hill?
A hill. Just a
in
hill.
Illinois?
Not a mountain. It's just a hill. Yeah, it used to be a good sledding hill, but that's another story. But we did all that, and I remember growing up in this church, and I received the gift of patience from so many teachers as far back as our primary age Sunday school class that we had right there at Lincoln Trail. It was in the music room right off from the cafeteria where we met, and Marietta Emmett, bless her soul, was kind to a group of kids who decided one day when she was a few minutes behind to shut off all the lights and hide under the tables and try to scare her poor little heart. But she was kind to us. Ron Ross, if you're on here today, Good, I can talk
no,
about it.
No, go for it.
Yeah. So Ron showed his patience as high schoolers when we met with, and now what is the kitchen of the fellowship hall in there. We met in that room, which was a baptistry setup room. And one time he was sitting down and his wallet money clip fell out of his wallet. And John Fulclair goes, look, points to me because I was sitting beside him. Picked it up and just put it in the church envelope. So I did. I put it in the envelope.
A good offering that day.
Good offering. Well, luckily there's a good person running, grabbing the envelopes. And Ron, did you mean to put this whole thing in there? I just thought Ron had a giving heart. So, but patience is what I was shown. Then there are my parents and the Cole Clasiers and countless others who hosted youth group events. And taught us to have fun with one another and fellowship with one another and spent time to teach us kids in their homes on Sunday nights. There is Susie Derringer and Stephanie Moram and many others who helped cultivate my love for the drama and music through VBS and through musicals and things over the years. And the list could just go on and on about this congregation, how they've supported me and the youth in this church. Even one time when we were doing Barbecue for Ben, a musical, State Church supported me, didn't hate me when I stood on a piano in the fellowship hall and did a song. Oh. And I meant stood. I stood on top of that thing.
You got pictures of that?
She has pictures of that.
Yeah,
it might show up. It might show up. But this congregation has poured in their time, efforts, and prayers to me. And I can't thank you enough for that. And now you've done it for my daughter, Tiana, who is off at Baylor doing her things and part of the production team at her church and doing so many different things. I've seen her grow in so many ways. That's thanks to you in part. I thank you for my son who's currently getting so much from Sunday school class with Mike and Deanna and Rhonda and that group. And then junior church, there's so many of you who've helped in junior church over the years with my kids. I can't thank this congregation enough for what they've meant to me and my family and to my wife. So thank you. My wife and I will eternally be grateful for what you've done, especially with our children. But finally, Dave stole my thunder, but I need to say thank you to you, Pastor. I was nervous about coming back, mainly because the weather's so nice in Virginia all year long. But
did
I was
you
nervous
see that
about
hurricane that went up that way?
Yeah, but Richmond was fine.
Okay.
Richmond was
okay.
Fine. But I'm so thankful. The transition to come getting into ministry and leaving retail and the things you've taught me this past 10 years and the stories that don't need to come out here, but that we have worked through and the laughter we have shared during the week. It's been a joy. It's been a joy to come with you and work alongside you and continue this ministry here at the church. So thank you.
Thank you.
From the bottom of my heart, my wife knows that the support you've given me has been Can't measure it. So thank you so much
thank
for
you.
That. And what you've done with this congregation and the people you've shared with and reached out to and spent late nights here praying with and things like that, we all owe you a thank you.
Yeah.
So thank you, brother.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Well, Pastor Jeff, along those same lines, I have to add, I'm thankful that we have this wonderful ministry in Mahomet.
Yeah.
I have a lot of colleagues who are struggling in places that are just hard. When you look at Revelation, those first three chapters, there are churches all over the world that, at the known world at that time, that John is revealing these words to. And he says, I know your struggles. I know your work. I know. And some of my colleagues, some of yours, are in churches that are just struggling. Not just internally, some internally, but I love the whole town. I mean, it's just so hostile against the church, and they just seem to stay in their little church house on Sunday morning and leave the rest of the week alone. I'm so thankful we've started this new paradigm of For Mahomet, Jeremiah 29:7. You know, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you, because in their benefit, you will be benefited when you seek their welfare. Pray to the Lord for it. And that's what we're trying to do. Not just make a difference at this church, but in this community.
Yeah.
I love being here in Mahomet.
Yeah.
Now, Mahomet's got a lot of work left to do.
And I love this community. Growing up in this community.
Yeah, you grew up here.
I grew up here. And it's
you
great.
Went to school here.
I went to school here. I got in trouble here. in this town. And you know, Pastor, you and I could go on and on about all the great things we are thankful for in this community, in this church, and the people around us and family around us. But I think to be honest and to be transparent with these people and look at the Bible the right way, we got to look at the other side of that coin. We're going to have to look at what the other side looks like. So I want you to look up at the screens for just a second. Watch this short video real quick.
Bing Crosby.
I've got plenty to be thankful for.
Are you kidding?
I haven't got a great big yacht to sail from shore to shore. Still, I've got plenty to be thankful for.
You're loaded, Dad.
I've got plenty to be thankful for.
Like what?
No private car, no caviar, no carpet on my floor. Still, I've got plenty to be thankful for.
You know, you're better off than I am.
I've got eyes to be with.
You need glasses.
Ears to hear with.
Or fly with.
Arms to hug with. Lips to kiss with. Someone to adore.
You're a little flat, too.
How could anybody ask for more? My needs are small. I buy them all at the 5 and 10 cent store.
Sing it.
Oh, I've got plenty to be thankful for.
Why, you ain't at a bite.
I'm pouting, maybe.
That's from old Holiday Inn.
I'm pouting.
Things aren't going Bing's way right now. He's not too happy with life.
He's pouting.
And he's listening to that song about being thankful, and he's complaining the whole way. You're a little flat. And, you know, what do you got to be thankful for? And got ears big enough to fly with. And he's just going on and on about just looking at life and down and out. Down and out. Have you ever felt that way, where life's just going wrong and you really just don't have much to be thankful for?
No,
never. Well, troubles and trials. We've got to be thankful in the troubles and trials, Pastor. And are we thankful in times of troubles and trials? It's the hardest part for me.
Mm-hmm.
It really is the hardest part in the hard times for me to be thankful. If I'm going to live what I believe and follow what it said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I'm going to have to find a way to be thankful even when life is rough, hard, upside down. I'm always reminded when I think about this about Paul. You know, he talked about it in 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. Paul talked about his thorn in his flesh, if you will. He says in verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in 1 Corinthians. I better go to 2nd, or it's not going to make much sense. My apologies. I like 1 Corinthians better. But, here we go. 2 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7. Even though I've received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. That doesn't sound like fun.
Torment,
yeah. That's what you said your kids used to do, too. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Pleasure. Being thankful. When life is rough, when it's hard. I struggle with that. I don't know about the rest of you, but I honestly struggle with that. We had a rough week this week in our community.
Yes, we did.
And people were talking about how do we get through. Well, we get through each day with Christ. And we're thankful that Christ died on the cross for us, that God walks with us. We're not thankful for the loss and the hurt and the pain, but we're thankful that we don't do it alone. That we have brothers and sisters, a church family to do it with. That's the thankful things we can remember to be thankful for in these struggles, in these hard times. The great prophet Rocky Balboa, he once said, the world ain't all sunshine and roses, or rainbows. Ain't all sunshine and rainbows. We have to deal with death, destruction, anger, hate, racism, murder, mass murders, evil, bullying. I mean, the list goes on about all the things we have to deal with in this on this earth. And we have a choice, but it's not easy. We can choose to trust God, to count on God, and be thankful, or choose just to give in to the struggles of the world and let it beat us down, take us down with them. And this is the part, this is the other side of that coin about being thankful, that many times I just want to ignore.
Yeah, me too.
I'll just get through it, and then I'll be thankful once I'm through it, not going through it. It's confession time, church. And I just want you to know, I personally have to get better at finding a reason to be thankful when life gets hard.
Me too.
I think
we all do.
What do you think, Pastor?
I think we all do. Hey, I'm simply reminded that Jesus said, in this world, you will have troubles. Yeah. Don't kid yourself, even becoming a Christian is not going to do away with troubles and trials. James goes on to tell us that we should count it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds. I find that difficult to do.
Those are those difficult scriptures,
right? They really are.
Well, in the end, I think that it's we have to find joy in our hope, Pastor. We have to find joy in our hope. The hope of eternal salvation. If we do that, we can be thankful even during the times of troubles and trials.
Well, having said that, let me add this one. I'm thankful I'm a Christian.
Amen.
I love the songs this morning. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Pastor Jeff, I watch many people go through this life trying to make it on their own. There may be some of you here this morning trying to do it on your own. Let me just tell you, that's not a pretty thing to watch. There are too many things this life can throw at us to try to go it alone. We've seen it so much. Cancer, financial setbacks, sometimes even financial ruin, heartbreaks unspeakable, overwhelming grief, deep disappointments. Pastor Jeff, I once had a funeral for a man. Thank goodness, only one so far. But I once had a funeral for a man that this world would call very successful in just about every way you could imagine. But when it came to the end of his life, his wife couldn't even find enough men to be pallbearers at his funeral. The funeral home had to hire 4 additional men to carry his coffin. I'm so thankful, of course, for looking heavenward, that I'm a Christian, that I have a home in heaven with Jesus and so many others who have gone before me. But I'm also thankful that I'm living this life as a Christian. Because as you just said, I have so many who share my burdens. And the French have a saying, a burden shared is half a burden. They help me so much along the way.
You know, and I could just add to that, Pastor, that I'm also thankful I'm a Christian because I am forgiven.
Amen.
I am forgiven. When I struggle, like I talked about, being thankful, or my frustration gets the better of me, I have a loving, merciful God who forgives me. He will forgive me. And we need that, don't we?
Amen. Every day.
Every day.
Some of you more than me. I mean, some more than others. But let me tell you something, and I mean this, Jeff. This is what keeps me going.
Okay.
And I know it keeps you going too.
Yeah.
I'm not only thankful I'm a Christian, I'm thankful you can be too.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful that this is not a gift He just picked me out to give. In fact, if He was picking out, I probably wouldn't be on the list. You can be a Christian too. You know, Pastor Jeff, I used to group people into 2 groups, Christians and the lost.
Yeah.
But I have recently learned to look at those 2 groups as Christians and pre-Christians.
Okay, I like that. Yeah.
Pre-Christians.
Yeah.
There are still a lot of people seeking for something in their lives. And I believe Jesus is still who they're looking for.
Yes. Yeah.
Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You got to really get in there and want it. I can't help but think of the many who have set out to prove God does not exist and to prove that the resurrection is a myth.
Yeah.
And yet, they would come to the conclusion God is real after all. Joshua McDowell, an agnostic at college, he decided to prepare a paper that would examine the historical evidence of the Christian faith in order to disprove it. However, he converted to Christianity after he says he found evidence for it, not against it. He wrote a book to share his story, evidence that demands a verdict. Many of you may have read it. Many of you are certainly familiar with it. I also think about Lee Strobel.
Yeah.
Lee Strobel was some different angle altogether. He was an investigative journalist. And you know how journalists go after the dirt. His wife was a Christian that drove him crazy. So he set out to prove with an investigative journalist approach, with all the contacts and expert people he knew around the world, and others they would introduce him to amass all the evidence he could as in an investigative way to prove that God did not exist and that the resurrection was fiction.
Yeah.
However, he converted to Christianity because his conclusion was, it's real. He wrote a book to share his story, The Case for Christ. Many of you may have read it or know about it. By the way, we have those books in the church library. I want to warn you, though, that's not light reading. And more recently, J. Warner Wallace. If you saw God's Not Dead 2, he was the detective on the stand that they were cross-examining for stuff. He was a homicide detective who wound up spending over 20 years in cold case investigations. And he was an atheist. And he wanted to apply all of his investigative skills in cold case homicides to the oldest and best cold case in the world, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And he set out to prove that Jesus was not the Son of God and that the resurrection never happened.
Yeah.
His conclusion? He was wrong. It's real. He wrote a book to share his discoveries. Cold Case Christianity. Never read anything like it.
Yeah.
And it's the first of many books in that series. Great website, Cold Case Christianity. Evidence from people who sought earnestly with all their heart. You know what that says to me? God's still not afraid of your questions.
No.
You check it out. You seek Him with all your heart. I'll tell you what you're going to find. It's real.
It's real.
You're going to find it's real. The good news, Pastor Jeff, is God has not closed the invitation.
Yeah, great news.
Yet.
But
the day's coming, as the Imperials used to sing, when he's going to stand up and give the call and end it all. But right now, he has not closed the invitation.
Yep.
You can be a Christian.
Yeah.
God so loved the world. That includes you. Every one of you. God is not wanting anyone to perish. That includes you. He doesn't want you to perish either. And the book of Revelation ends with that great invitation, whosoever will. That includes you. God has not closed the invitation. And
there's more.
You ready?
Yeah.
Neither has MCC.
Amen.
You know what? You can feel the love.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you something. There's room to love more.
Yeah.
How many of you would like to love a few more? Now, we say that, and then God says, oh, good. Here, love this one. And you know what we say? Bring them on.
Just bring it.
Bring it. bring it. MCC has not closed our invitation either. We're not perfect. We're not just watch informed. We are not perfect. But we serve the one who is.
Yeah.
And one of our main responses to His love is to love you.
Yeah.
I like to say it this way, Pastor Jeff. We're letting God love us. And we're letting God love others through us.
Yep.
So, Pastor Jeff, I guess our takeaway would be where we started. In everything, give thanks.
I'd like to simplify that a little bit, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I'd like to say, today, choose to be thankful. Choose to be thankful.
That sounds like an invitation to me.
It does.
It is a choice.
Yeah.
You can be thankful for all of that. You can leave here today thankful you are a Christian. And maybe you already are when you came in the doors, but you don't have to leave these doors without knowing. You know, God, I am so thankful. 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 That you love me enough to give your son for my sins.
Yep. Shall I pray?
Have a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and this chance to get together as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we welcome all those visiting today, Lord. And we just ask that you open all our hearts and all our minds to the things you would have in store for us and the things you would lead us to do. If anyone today's heart is ready, help them, Lord. Guide them. Bring them forward. Let us join with them and help them become a Christian to walk the way you would want them to walk. And may we all, every one of us, whether we've found you as our Savior yet or have not, choose to be thankful in all things. It is in your Son's precious name we pray, and all God's people said,
Amen.